Maria Baring, Mariska, Milva, the red kite, pulled back the bowstring tight against her calloused fingers, her composite bow stretching to a breaking point. The feather touched softly against her cheek. Behind her, an arrow shattered against the wall, sending alabaster and marble through the air, creating a specter of gloom. Finding her target, she released. A calmness overtook her, a feeling unlike anything she had ever experienced before. Even when injured during the battle on the bridge over the Aruga, it wasn't this. Even when losing the fetus shortly thereafter, and the week of mourning, the agony, it wasn't this. The arrow took flight, bringing with it an inevitable death, as dozens, if not hundreds, had before. Time seemed to stand still to Milva as other thoughts raced through her head. The Witcher, that white-haired prick, what brought me to follow him, of all people? All the years on my own, those with the dryads, with the elves, the Scoia'tael, a Witcher. Perhaps it was that talk, an Angren. He didn't tell me what to do, didn't try to show off his knowledge, not that he had much beyond his craft anyway. He just listened. It was my decision and my choice alone. And for that, I owed him. Whoever this girl was, this Ciri, she meant something to him, and that was good enough for me. I hope, at least, my death helps him find her. She watched as her arrow undoubtedly found its target, slamming into the Nilfgaardian archer. But his was not far behind. It ripped through her like a knife through satin. She fell to the ground, and a final thought came to her. I remember, Papa, I remember. All the tears, all the blood-soaked fingers. You made me better. You made me tougher. I would not have survived all these years without you. I remember. Milva heard the cries from her friends, the ones she would never see again. She heard Anguillem wail for her. Auntie. The huntress shed a tear, wishing for many more years of hearing her call her that again. Blood oozed from her mouth as she whispered her final words. I love you too, Papa. And she died.
That's her. It has to be her. She really does look like me.
Anguillem leapt from behind Kyr and cut down a black-clad soldier. Together they fought them off, but not before a javelin laced into her leg, blood quickly soaking her trousers. The mention of Yennefer sent Ciri into motion, but she quickly relented, telling them to flee as someone had arrived. The devil incarnate. Geralt of Rivia, the white-haired knight. I suppose it's as simple as he saved me life from Nightingale, from the gallows. What else was I to do? Go back to me ma, the band of orphans? They're all dead. And beside, I had a family now. This was my family. Geralt, Dandelion, Kyr, Regis, and Auntie. She deserved better. Ciri and Anguillem moved quickly, letting the Black Knight take on the devil, as he wished.
I can't run anymore.
The blood streamed onto the ground as the girl turned white.
It was the greatest time of my life. Toussaint, what a peaceful place. Breakfast in Beauclair every morning, not to worry. I suppose there are better lives out there, but it wasn't for me, not for my type, not an orphan. But I want to go back, stay there, away from it all. But this is why we came. This is why I came, for this girl, for Geralt to find her. I just hope I did enough.
Ciri held the girl tightly, and minutes passed before she realized she was clutching a corpse. The Black Knight slammed the door shut.
It's her. I'll remember that face from Sintra. I will never forget it.
He looked at the injured Anguillem, but she quickly waved him off.
I am Kyr Mar Difrin Eap Sialik. I am here with Geralt to rescue you. All this time, from the slaughter of Centra, to kneeling before the Emperor on death's door, to a coffin with Havokarth, fighting alongside a witcher killing my former countrymen, to nearly being scalped. All this time, all this journey, to find her. And this is the devil incarnate, huh? Let's find out. The bony, fish-eyed man called out to him and moved into position. Kyr shouted, "This is destiny." He twirled his sword and attacked. I followed him for her. We came to an understanding, and we both knew we wanted what was best for Cirilla. Those dreams, they changed me. I never much believed in destiny, too much. I shared that in common with the Witcher, never really cared. But now I know something was uniting us all. Something more. Kyr and the devil fought, parrying and sizing each other up. He fought bravely and bought time. But as he saw the flash of a blade from the impending attack, his mind had one final thought. Will she remember me? Not as the attacker in Centra, the demon bent on taking her. Will she remember... The blade cleaved through his temple and cheek as he crumpled to the floor. They say, before death, you have one final complete thought or memory. One thing to take with you to whatever comes next. But that day, in Stiga Castle, Kyr discovered that death waits for no one. The slash came quickly as the vampire appeared out of nowhere. Vilgefortz fended him away and sized up his enemies. As Regis materialized next to Geralt, the Witcher gave out a warning. "Beware," protested the vampire. "I did not come here to beware." "Why have I come here, to this castle, so far away from my hut near Fencarn? Was it really because the war was so dangerous? Was it a simple sense of adventure? Why follow this Witcher all the way to death's door? I am a healer, and they needed healing. Not just the physical kind, but we needed some cohesion, a closer understanding of each other. And I like to think I provided that. They were all my friends, and that is what friends do. They help each other." Regis came at the mage, but this time he was ready. He grasped onto the vampire's white-hot flames emitted from his hands. Geralt is one of a kind, not in his martial prowess or being a witcher, but the way he carries himself, brutally honest, a tough leader, but most of all, caring. He put his life on the line for his friends and family, those he cared for, and I was glad to do the same. He was my friend, and if I was ever in the time of need, I would like to think that reciprocity would have been in order. The vampire screamed as he melted alongside a column and became one with it. "We are corpses, but you are death." The voice stayed with Ciri everywhere she went. "I only bring death and destruction, but I need to find Yennefer. I need to save her." The voice rang out. "You will bring her what you have brought to those before you. Everyone you love will die because of you. Visigota." Ciri rounded the corner and came upon a black-clad knight with wings of prey upon his helmet. "A demon. He has followed me all the way here, surrounded by demons, nightmares. Bonart behind me, and him in front." The voice rang out. "All those in Centra, slaughtered because of you." A girl rushed from behind the knight, and Ciri watched as they fought off the men and barred the door. The wounded girl sat down, and the knight introduced himself. The voice rang out, "The Raptor of Centra, how many has he killed for you?" Ciri turned and saw Bonnard enter the room. Her plea for the knight to flee fell on deaf ears, as he was determined to stand and fight. Ciri limped the girl along as they left the men to their fates. Ciri struggled, unable to hold the girl up. Ciri promised to make her a countess as she died in her arms. The voice rang out, "Another one dead because of you." Tears slid down her face, the weight of the world pressing down. "I didn't ask for any of this. I just want to be left alone." Thoughts of Kaer Morhen came to her, the training with Lambert, Eskel, Vesemir, and Cohen. "I hope they're all right." The voice rang out, "The convoy attack at Scheherazade." Bonart found her, and with this she knew death had come for another. But if she was to bring death to those in contact, she would relish this one. Leo Bonart, the fish-eyed specter of a man, had brought nothing but sorrow since she had met him. The voice rang out, "Missile." Ciri gathered herself, gripped the hilt tightly, and prepared to meet her destiny. They fought hard, each gaining the upper hand, but eventually Ciri made the better move. He gurgled out a final death knell, and that was that. The voice did not ring out, nor did it ever again. Clenching Fringilla's medallion, Geralt illusioned into an attack and ended the mage known as Vilgefortz, his glossy eye staring into nothingness. He helped Yennefer to her feet, and they went off. The three met under an unimpressive balustrade, Geralt, Ciri, and Yennefer. Mama, daughter. Weariness covered them like a shawl. Ciri removed the medallions taken from Bonnard, giving the wolf to Geralt and keeping the cat for herself. They were met by yet another obstacle. Tawny Owl, Stefan Skellen. "Kill them all," he exclaimed. But it was not to be. Not this day. Nilfgaardian soldiers had arrived and took Skellen and his mercenaries into custody. The Imperial officer, his highness, then asked to be alone with the Witcher. The Emperor of Nilfgaard, Emir Var Emrais, Dithvin Adan Imkar Ep Morvud, the white flame dancing on the barrows of his enemies. Dunni, the cursed hedgehog from Pavetta's betrothal. He states his intentions to marry Cirilla and impregnate her, as well as making sure those who know his secret will never live to tell it. "You cannot fail to detect the hand of destiny in all of this, from the beginning." Emir tells his story of being the Emperor's son, and cursed due to his father not yielding to the usurper. He took refuge in the north, and eventually coming back to power, he encountered Vilgefortz, who informed him of the prophecy that would dominate his life and just about everyone else's in the continents. He stated that in order to return, himself, Pavetta, and Ciri had to die in a shipwreck near the Sedna Abyss, in which Vilgefortz would create a portal to save them. Pavetta had removed Ciri, and during an ongoing argument, she fell overboard and died. The end justifies the means. He states that his military men wanted to attack Sintra, and the people wanted living space. And a little cut in here. This is another reference to Nilfgaard being somewhat similar to Nazi Germany, as Lebensraum was German literally for living space. That's why the Nazis went eastward towards the Slavs and Soviets in World War II, although it was a German position going back to pre-World War I. Emir orders Geralt to commit suicide, and Yennefer agrees to join him. The serpent Ouroboros has sunk its teeth into its own tail. Geralt, Yennefer, and Ciri, united at last, say their goodbyes. Ciri swears that she will never acquiesce to Emir. She will kill him before so. But there has been enough killing. Geralt and Yen enter the room with a hot bath. But one last go at each other seems appropriate. Just not underwater. They are interrupted by Ciri bursting into the room, saying that Emir is gone. The Nilfgaardians are gone. She claims there was no explanation, but she lied. As Ciri was leaving, with Emir and the Nilfgaardian company. After thinking about never seeing Geralt and Yen again, she broke down and sobbed. Emir came to her, touched her hair, her disfigured cheek, and hugged her. "Farewell, my daughter. It's a strange thing, this destiny."